Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I am knackered. How are you, Mum?
Darling, why are you knackered?
Because I'm 8 months pregnant and I am promoting the hell out for myself in the next few weeks. I'm exhausted by myself.
Well, it'll be very nice to speak to someone else tonight then, won't it? Well, who's promoting something.
Well, it's a good day to have got him as well. Listen, what's happened today? But yeah, so back to me for a second. I am on the One Show on Friday. Massive deal, Mum.
I love the One Show.
Yeah, I've never
seen it. If only your grandmother was alive.
Oh my God, my grandma Gaga would have loved it.
She would have loved it.
So I'm on the One Show and we did these, because this is what you have to do when you're a pregnant person and also COVID times. We did three different recordings. No, four different performances, all set up in different ways at the London Coliseum. Europe's largest stage. It's the home of the English National Opera.
Darling, I'm familiar with the Coliseum.
You took me there, right?
Did we go and see Madame Butterfly?
The Mikado there?
The Mikado. We've seen Carmen there. We've seen
I love it. It's amazing. They were so sweet and they let us do a filming day. And so the performance that you'll see on the One Show, if you fancy tuning in, is from the Coliseum. So thank you so much to the Coliseum for letting us use it.
See, I always wanted you to be an opera singer.
I know. Well, I saw
you got to the Coliseum.
Sorry, Mum, we're just recording. I mean, it may not have been opera on there, but I sung a few tunes. Mum, now, what do you think about this? You know, we've had this discussion before about the free coffee at Pret.
Yeah.
I went into a Pret. No, I don't know. I got a bit overexcited and then I felt like I flustered the woman. And because the bloody barriers are up where we've got the Perspex and the mask, I don't know whether she was offering me one or not.
Okay,
so what do you think about this? She said, I was buying some bits and bobs, and then she went, do you want a coffee? And I said, oh,
no, darling. She was asking if you want coffee with your sandwich.
That's what I thought, because I got really excited, and I went, oh, a coffee, thinking I'd like, I got the golden ticket. I freaking got my free Pret coffee.
Did you?
No. So I
of course
got,
she didn't. She's asking you, she's ticking off a list to sell
I know,
more.
I was a bit sad. For a moment, I thought I was going to get one.
I think they say you're going to get a free coffee. This is on the how.
Yeah. Anyway, I was that close. So today we have...
Oh, it's very exciting. Someone who is going big.
In what sense of the word, Mum?
He's going big in terms of... His book's called Go Big. It's about rethinking how we can change society and all your great ideas he wants you to enact.
Does it say Lenny for president?
No.
Will you be discussing that as an appendix?
I was sad that I was omitted from his grand plan, but but it is about how to think about big ideas and feel energised to use them.
Okay, so the day that we are recording this, Dominic Cummings has just...
He's been going big.
On the accusations.
On the blame game.
So today has been the day where he is like... Yeah.
As Private Eye said, he needed a whole troop of buses to throw everyone under them.
And what have you made today, Mum?
So I had a most delicious meal with friends on the second day after we were allowed out. Mm-hmm. And my very, very good friends...
Let's give her a shout, because she listens.
Jill Wood... And other friends there were Claire, Peppy and Julia. We've been meeting for a long time. And we don't usually discuss politics. We discuss much more basic, interesting things. Won't go into detail, but it was a girls' night. And she cooked a delicious meal. And yep. And she cooked a delicious meal, and I've literally copied everything she cooked.
But they are from some really brilliant cookbooks.
Yeah, so mostly Otto Lengi and Sammy. Tamimi.
Yeah.
So I've cooked cod with harissa and chickpeas.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some lettuce, gem lettuce, with za'atar and lemon and olive oil.
Za'atar girl. So it's kind of like a Palestinian deviled egg.
A Middle Eastern deviled egg. Well, the whole meal is Middle Eastern. Topping it off with something that was so delicious. I hope it's Middle Eastern eaten mess. So if I tell you there's rose water and pomegranate in the mix, you'll be excited. With a syrup made of sumac and sugar and lemon at the bottom. Yeah.
Also, should we say why you've asked him to come at 6 p.m?
Look, I'm just going to have to come clean. He's going to be late as well, for fuck's sake. I'm going to have to say from the outset, thank you so much for coming at 6. There is a reason, because at 7:55, I'm going to the sitting room and I'm watching the footy because it's our big night. Please God, we win.
7:55. Do you know it's
a very important day, May the 26th. It's when we won the treble, the actual date.
Oh man, do you remember we kept that champagne book?
And you sat and you started to cry because you thought we'd lost. And you were over in the corner crying, and then we scored. You missed the goal. She was crying.
Hey, it's a good night for us then tonight.
Please God.
Ed Miliband, Going Big on Table Manners.
Thank you very much. Your podcast is such an institution.
Everybody.
I mean, you know.
We haven't even started arguing yet.
Yeah.
We're going to be on our best behaviour. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Eating well today?
No, I haven't really eaten well today. That's kind of, I was saving myself.
Okay.
You're very tall.
Really?
I didn't imagine you were going to...
I've grown, actually.
It's gone big, hasn't it?
Yeah, I've grown in the last...
You've gone big.
Not being leader. I'm no longer hunched.
Well, big day
after
big day today.
Yeah, wow. I haven't properly followed it. But
well, we haven't.
It sounds relatively devastating.
Yeah, but I think we'll go. Boris will stay here.
I think he won't take much notice, but
he won't. He just said,
"How does he get away with so much?" Like, it's just, I don't. It's like everyone's so numb to salacious.
That's what I thought about when I read your book. I mean, I haven't read it and memorised it.
Sure.
But your idea is that we should seize this moment and make changes.
Mm.
And however big they are, we should think, yeah, we can do this.
Definitely.
But don't you think that people have become kind of numbed and are slightly inert, younger people, because nothing changes?
Are they inert, though? I think they're quite inert.
You think they're inert?
To invent a word, I think they're, I mean... If you think about younger people, they're what give me hope, because they are passionate about climate change or, you know, racial justice or all of the issues in our society. I mean, they're impatient and sort of rightly so. I think you're sort of... Look, there needs to be a proper inquiry into what happened, basically. And
absolutely.
I think at the moment it's going to be he said, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is, I'm not changing the subject, but this is your...
This is my house.
Is this where you grew up then,
yeah.
Lizzie? Oh, wow.
So I'm still here, but I'm thinking, I keep on looking at modern house to see if I can move to something newer and smaller.
In this area or?
Probably nearer to her, a little bit.
Where are you, Jessie?
I'm New Cross.
Right.
So
she's a pioneer.
Pioneer?
She's a long way from Panzer's Deli.
Yeah, we don't have a good Jewish deli.
Panzer's Deli is pretty good, isn't
it? It's my favourite place.
I know. But it's like, do you know Zabar's in New York?
No.
Zabar's is this famous deli in New York.
No, we don't know that one. We know Ross and...
I presume Lower East Side, maybe?
No, I think it's Upper West Side, but I think it might be elsewhere as well. Anyway, it's where are you? I lived there when I was 18 with my dad, and we used to go to Zabar's.
So let's talk about your family and growing up, because you moved around a lot.
Yeah.
Who was cooking and what were you eating? Or were you eating so many different cuisines because
cooked.
You were
everywhere? So your mum comes from Poland.
Yes.
Your dad's Belgian.
Yes. So both of them are refugees. My dad came here with his dad just before the Nazis arrived in Brussels. He came as a 16-year-old with nothing. He came as Adolf Miliband. And his landlady said to him, "We can't have you called Adolf. Wow, you're going to be Ralph. You're going to be Ralph from now on."
Because it was probably quite a nice name.
Well, I think he thought his... I think it was with a PH. But I don't know. I think... Well, he always used to say, "I don't know quite what my mother was thinking." But obviously it wasn't Adolf at that point. I mean, it wasn't, you know... suppose he was born in 1924. But anyway, he came here and then he sort of learnt English and... was in the Royal Navy and...
So they let people who came from abroad into the Royal Navy?
Yeah, no, they absolutely did. Because he was like what they call a headache. He was somebody who listened to the radio transmissions to try to intercept.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
I don't think he was very... He always said he wasn't very good at it. but, yeah, so he did, I think, A-levels. He went to, I think it was Acton Technical College, he learned English, did A-levels, and then... I think he started at the London School of Economics, then went to the Royal Navy, and then finished after the war. And then my mum was in hiding. I mean, she lost her father. I mean, we only found out in 2014 when I went to Yad Vashem, actually exactly where my grandfather had died.
Really?
Yeah, and it was in a labour camp, a German labour camp. Well, I mean, you know, I don't think labour camp is quite the right word, but it was like a... starvation camp. Yeah. It was to build a German airfield in Heilfingen. And to be fair, it's actually quite... What's happened since is quite inspiring because two teachers... This had essentially been covered up that there was this labour camp where lots of Jews had been transported, I think from Auschwitz to there, to build this airfield at the end of the war. And it had been basically covered up by the town. And then these two teachers were like, "Well, we can't have this covered up." So they kind of surfaced the past... And one thing after another, there's now a memorial there, and I went with my mum and my brother and my aunt, and my grandfather was buried in a mass grave. But then, you know, there is a proper memorial now, and they've really, I mean, they've done an amazing,
good.
They've done an amazing thing. Anyway,
so your mum was
my mum was in hiding, and she was hidden. I mean, eventually she was in a convent and then hidden by a Catholic family who saved their life and the life of her sister. And
In Poland?
Yeah. And they sheltered her mother, her and her sister, and then eventually she came here after the war.
And where did they meet?
They met at the LSE.
Because they were both...
Well, my mother was a student.
And your father was...
Yeah, a lecturer.
Yeah. Mm. Are you the younger brother?
I am, yeah.
So you grew up with David.
Yeah.
And did you have family meals? Did
yes.
you sit and eat?
Yes, definitely.
What were you eating?
What were we eating? I think my
big
mum...
Big food family? Big foodie family?
Quite big food family. My mum was a great cook, actually. She just cooked dishes from all over the world, is my memory of it. My grandmother... So my grandmother lived in Israel and then came to live in England. And she would cook traditional Jewish food.
Chicken soup, matzah
balls, definitely. Definitely, yeah.
So, growing up, your mum was the cook.
Definitely. My father was he was quite lefty in his views, but quite traditional in his approach. I remember I did live with him in America at one point, and we spent 3.5 months together. I was out of school in the UK, and, I mean, he was a pretty dreadful cook. And we used to eat quite a lot of pasta with tomato sauce from the tin. And about 2 weeks before the end, I remember eating the pasta and the tomato sauce and looking at the jar, saying, "Dad, I think you're supposed to warm up the tomato sauce." And he said, "Oh, you're right." So, yeah, it was my mum who did the cooking.
So are you left-wing in your views and traditional in your
gender roles? I am much more... I've tried to be more consistent, Lenny. Definitely tried to.
Do you cook?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
What's your go-to dish?
I'm a recipe follower rather than a recipe box follower and a recipe follower. And also my children sort of like quite simple food. So, you know, I'd sort of...
Still a lot of pasta and tomato.
Yeah, so probably. Yeah. I managed to warm up the tomato sauce. No, I'm surprisingly able to follow a recipe, but I'm not somebody... The thing about my mother was she didn't need a recipe. She just seemed to rustle things up, whether it was... stuffed cabbage or meatballs or chicken and couscous or whatever it was. She just managed to do it. I don't know what it was. She just had it.
Yeah.
Which books have you been cooking out of quite a lot, like recipe books?
God, that's a good question.
Or have you been using BBC Good Food? Because we all do.
Yeah.
Or... yeah, BBC Good Food. I sort of look on the internet. Justine would say I'm very good at buying cookbooks and less good at following them.
We all love that.
But they're so beautiful.
They're so beautiful. So they have such nice pictures.
Yeah, the beautiful elements.
You know what I would really recommend? My children joke about this. I'm a big reader of the New York Times. The New York Times cooking app is really good.
I
follow the New York Times cooking.
You have to download it and you have to pay.
Celine Nosrat must be.
That would be my go-to. So like I made Justine this sort of tomato and white bean soup recently, which was the first time I made it was okay and the second time not so good. But so you can sort of...
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
It is really good.
Yeah, it's
don't
a fantastic app. I think it's great, yeah.
And where do you go out to eat? Do you go out a lot?
I've forgotten what going out is like.
Have you been out yet?
We've been out a couple of times. There's actually a very nice Italian place called Amine e Cure in Quick Kentish Town near where we live. We like Dishoom. Do you know Dishoom?
Yeah.
King's Cross. Morrow, do you know Morrow?
Yes, Morrow.
We're going to, it's our 10th wedding anniversary on Thursday, and we're Mazel going to Morrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, is that tomorrow?
Yes, it's tomorrow. Have you got a present?
It's on the way.
Okay. I love Morrow. They do
Justine, it's Justine's favourite restaurant.
It's my favourite too. Amazing. They do that lamb that's so fabulous.
Well, and Marito's great too, which is, you know, yes. It's great.
But you
too.
Do have to sit with the food almost on your lap.
I don't mind
it's
that,
tiny.
It's closest to you.
Okay.
I was wondering, what was it like when you were the leader of the Labour Party going out? Did you feel like everyone had a point of view to tell you when you were going out, whether it was like eating out? Did you avoid eating out?
Taxi
drivers.
It's a
good job my wife is not in this conversation. She would say it was grim.
Was it grim?
Was it a pain in the arse?
I think it was I think in retrospect, and I should have sort of realised it more at the time, I think it was significantly grimmer for her than it was for me. Because I think you are powerless, really. As a spouse, you're powerless to do anything about whether it goes well or badly, really, fundamentally. I mean, you can provide support, but you can't really do anything about it. You're, in her case, a professional woman.
What does she do?
She's a High Court judge.
She's
now a High Court judge, but which I'll say something about in a second. But, you know, she's like my wife. But she was then a lawyer, an environmental lawyer. I said, the reason I laugh is that since I stopped being leader, her career has sort of taken off. She became a QC, a deputy High Court judge and a High Court judge, which is rather suggests how much I was holding her back. But I remember actually, I think it was Morrow. I remember maybe it was during the leadership campaign, but I can't remember. But I remember her saying that it was one particularly grim dinner where we went to Morrow. And it was sort of like, she felt like, the eyes of the whole restaurant were on her.
You certainly look very fresh and young.
Oh, thank
you certainly
you.
Look better than if you
than
were
I did.
The opposition leader.
I probably feel and look better than I did.
Do you feel sorry for Keir?
I feel sorry for anyone doing that job. It's a very exacting job. It is a very exacting job. But there are more difficult jobs in the world.
Sure, and you choose it.
Yeah.
No one made you do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you think Jeremy was your natural successor?
I don't know about natural successor.
You talk about activating young people. He certainly did that. People loved him.
Yeah, he did.
But I think Keir is fantastic. But I can see...
Why do you think he's fantastic, Mum?
Because I think he's forensic. I think he's a good, honest man. I don't think he's full of bullshit. I think he means what he says.
I completely agree with you about him. He has decency. He has integrity.
Yeah.
In spades. And I think the more people know about him and get to know about him, the more they will like him.
Yeah.
And I think he's come in at the most difficult time. He often jokes about this. He's literally not spoken to an audience at all in his first year because of social distancing and so on. So it's a very odd... It's been such an unprecedentedly difficult time.
And he challenges, but he's got to look as if he's supporting everyone.
And also, the other thing about that job is, honestly, as I know to my... I know, well... everyone in the Labour Party thinks that, it's got advice for you about how,
Really?
Smile more, smile less, do this more, do this less. It sort of slightly comes with it. I think the thing I learned the most, and maybe I should have done this more, is you've got to be yourself. Well, you can't pretend to be something you're not. Now, actually, Boris Johnson does pretend to be something he's not, but leave him to one side for a second.
Yeah.
But I think, for other people, I think it's just you've got to sort of bring who you are. And I think that's what the public want.
But you see, there's something about Boris. He's created this Boris person that...
The fact that you call him Boris is also...
Alistair Campbell goes on about that. He's Boris Johnson.
Tessa Jowell was used to say this to me. Yeah, he's Boris Johnson.
But he's created this thing. He's Boris, you know, who ruffles his hair and gets things wrong a bit.
You've got to take the long view on these things. You know, the reality is that... We've been through such a terrible moment as a country.
Yeah.
And let's be honest about it. It would have challenged any government.
Mm-hmm.
But it's come out of, well, not out of nowhere, but, you know, it's nobody expected. You know, if we'd all been saying to each other, we're going to have spent a year of social distancing and all these restrictions, we'd never have believed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been totally unprecedented. And I think there is a natural tendency, and you see this right across the world, for people to be relatively generous to their governments. You know, to sort of... to give quite a lot in saying, okay, well, you know, it's hard. And I think the question is not, where are we now? The question will be, well, who's got a better view of the future? And I think there is going to be a sort of the world of the pandemic and the world after the pandemic. And I think they are two different things, really. And the thing for Labour is you've just got to say, well, this is what we do for the country, and then people will have to make up their mind. I mean, look, I agree with you that Boris Johnson is a figure. I think they don't think the public are that much in love with him, by the way. I mean, I think people I think people have very mixed view. People know he's a chancer. Now the question is he a chancer who's on their side or not? And that's what we've got to.
I mean, some of your books reminiscent of his levelling. You talk about disadvantaged people and people who are doing very well.
Yeah.
And he talks about levelling up.
Yeah.
He only seems to be levelling up in certain areas.
Well, also, he's good at talking about it, Lenny, but the question is
he going to do it?
Yeah, is he going to do it? You see, look, you know, I'm an MP in Doncaster. You know, obviously, I'm the MP, but there's one seat in Doncaster that went Conservative at the 2019 election. But I think what... You know, people in Doncaster are going to be saying, well, okay, the rhetoric is fine. And we do feel, and you know, I say in the book, Brexit, the financial crisis, what coronavirus has illuminated about the country, they all speak to a sense of people feeling like this country doesn't work for them. This economy doesn't work for them.
They feel excluded,
yeah,
don't they?
And just so many conversations I had with people around Brexit. And you know, lots of people say, oh, Brexit was immigration, Brexit was the EU. Honestly, the vast majority of the conversations I had with people in my constituency about Brexit, and it was a significant majority for Brexit, one of the highest among Labour seats, was I want a new beginning for the country, I want better industry, I want jobs for my kids. Basic things that people would think, well, that's reasonable enough.
I mean, how's that working out?
Well, you make that point very clearly about traditional mining towns where they can't go back to those horrible jobs.
But jobs haven't been replaced.
But there's nothing there for them,
And you know, I've got this job now as Shadow Business and Energy Secretary, and just went on call with some of the trade unions and actually some of the green groups about, you know, well, what do these jobs look like in the future? Where are the new jobs going to come?
Where are they?
Well, there are jobs that can be done. I mean, think about, this climate transition is massive.
I know.
I mean, it is massive. You know, how you heat your home, how we drive around, green spaces, all of those things. Now, think about the jobs that need to be done. I tell you who is doing actually a good job on this is Biden. Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying, look, this is about, people talk about climate, I talk about jobs. You know, this is about the jobs of the future. And I think there is a really positive, exciting vision of how we can transform the country in a better way.
Whilst Mum tends to...
It is incredibly nice of you to cook for me, by the way.
Well, it's part of the shtick. I mean, that's our shtick.
What are we... Am I allowed to ask what we're having?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the chef should say this.
So I've made cod with chickpeas and harissa.
Sounds fantastic.
And some eggs done with kind of za'atar and chilli and some herbs on the top. Some just ordinary rice, and I've done some blistered tomatoes with yogurt, which is ottolenghi, and some little gem lettuce with some nigella seeds on the top.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. I mean,
you're
not fed.
I mean, not a bacon sandwich in sight.
No.
We ask everybody on the podcast what their last supper would be.
Oh, my God.
So it would
how
be...
grim.
No, OK, well, you're going to a desert island. You're not going somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, starter, main, pudding, drink of choice.
That is really hard.
Ed, you should have been prepared.
I should have been prepared.
I can think about
under-briefed.
This.
Under-briefed. I'm
going
to have to...
Yeah, you're going to have to fucking talk to your person.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I need some time to think
so
about
think
this.
So think about it. Think about it, that's fine. So I want to know, how's the bike?
Good.
Yeah? Mum's left that one out for you just here if you wanted to have a little go on it.
I got a stationary bike.
You know, it's quite compact, though. I like it.
And I watched it. I've got quite a lot of questions about transport for you.
Yeah.
Do you have an electric car?
Yes, I do.
How's that going for you?
It's there's a great community of people who meet at charging points and struggle. I cannot tell you. So my in-laws live in Nottingham, and we spent a long time. It's good for family bonding.
Why? So,
well, because we spent an hour and a half at the McDonald's in Loughborough recharging.
I guess that is good, a compromise for your 8-year-old and your 10-year-old and 12-year-old to go to McDonald's. So I guess that's good.
Yeah, that was good. And then I met a couple. I actually drove up to Doncaster and then drove back down a few days later. And I met a couple who were absolutely gnashing their teeth. They said it had taken them 8 hours to get on some journey because they had so much trouble with the charging points. I mean, our charging infrastructure is... But range, you know, the range anxiety is... So at the moment, we've got a Renault Zoe. We're just a trial.
My mate 200 drove
miles.
Me in that. Yeah, okay.
200 miles. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to take Nick Ferrari for a drive in it. Don't ask. Yeah.
Wow, how's that?
Well, I don't know, it hasn't happened yet. I offered him a drive. But this looks fantastic.
Does it?
Yeah.
It does, Mum. I presume it's going to keep on him, because I got told that I shouldn't get an electric car just yet. I kind of rate all the people that are doing it now, but apparently they're going to get much, much better as people invest more.
I mean, you can get them on a sort of month-by-month basis.
This subscription service,
yeah,
thing.
And I think there's... So I think my instinct is the range is going to improve, but actually the range is not that bad.
Yeah.
And...
Do you have a charger outside your house?
We've got a lamppost, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
This is so kind of you.
No.
Ed, pass me your plate.
And also on the day of a, like, Man United game.
Well, no, you are getting kicked out in 59 minutes. Yeah, you know, or you're
what
watching.
What time does the game start?
8. Got anywhere with your Last Supper, Ed?
Still working on it.
Ed.
I'll get back to you.
You're not a foodie, are you? You're not going to go, oh, my God,
darling,
I need this.
His physique. He's not a foodie.
That's
you're
the
objectifying.
Is it?
I'm a cold water swimmer now, too.
Are you having a midlife crisis? Because every man is into cold
definitely.
Water swimming.
Definitely.
You follow Wim Hof, I presume?
No, I think Jeff, my co-host, told me about Wim Hof.
Yeah, that's the next person that you've got to
Stig kind of... Abel said that nobody who's ever been cold water swimming hasn't boasted about it, which I think is definitely true.
Where are you doing it?
Hampstead Pond.
It's very good for you.
The men's pond. It is good, yeah. I really recommend cold water swimming.
No, I'm not doing it.
Why not?
I've struggled getting into the kids' pool, 29 degrees the other day. I'm not doing bloody 4. I'm sorry. I've got better things to do.
You see the ducks.
I can see them and feed them from the side, Ed.
You're communing with the ducks. Lenny, you're looking appalled.
Has your health improved since you are no longer the Labour
definitely.
Leader? Really?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, yeah, it's quite a stressful experience, don't you think?
Did you want to be leader?
Yes.
Or did people
say you should do it? No, I wanted to do it and I felt I had something distinctive and important to say. And that is a unique privilege to have done it and I wouldn't wish I hadn't done it. No, but it definitely takes its toll. And also, there is something about being part of a team working for a sort of common goal, which is quite unique. And, you know, you get a chance to talk to the country about where the country is, how things need to change. I mean, that is a big thing. So I definitely wouldn't... I don't sort of don't regret doing it. But it is... I think the biggest sacrifice is about family. The intrusion into your family life. And, you know, my kids were even younger then, obviously, and...
Were they aware of it?
Not really. The older one a little bit when I lost, but you know, he was only sort of 5 or 6, so it's sort of not, you know... I had my, you know, but I'm now back on the front line in a sense, not as leader, obviously, Shadow Business Energy Secretary, but And, you know, you do have a hesitation about that because it's so... The last experience of the front line was quite full on.
Was there any part of you that had any relief when you didn't win, where you were just like, you know what, fuck this, I'm tired.
I mean, I definitely felt at least I'm no longer a target.
Yeah. It's bullying, right? It was bullying. The Sun, and there's only so much you can take of that, surely.
I mean, they didn't want me to win, but, you know, overwhelmingly, obviously, I wish I'd won.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, the stress at the time, I just felt it was part of the job, and it's only looking back on it.
You see the level of...
Yeah. It almost feels more stressful in retrospect than it felt at the time. Justine would disagree with that.
Well, once you're in it, you've just got to do it.
Well, once you're in it, you've got to do it. I think that's basically it. You think, well, nobody forced me to do this. I wanted to do it. I know the reason I'm doing it. The cause is what's driving me forward to make the country fair, and you know, I think I can do a better job than Cameron. And therefore, that's sort of what made it, what drove me forward. And then it's when you then think back on it, you think... Oh, God.
Did you need therapy after it? Like, to be able to kind of...
I've definitely had therapy both before and after it, actually.
Oh, right, well... but, like, to be able to kind of understand, to compute...
Yeah, and I think that's why going back into the front line is quite anxiety-making.
Yeah, right.
Because the experience of last time was, like, you know, I ate a sandwich in a particular way and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I think it's definitely hard... And you know, there are definitely sacrifices involved in being a frontline politician. But I never thought afterwards, oh, I want to go off and work for Facebook or, you know, whatever.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You've had a bit of time to mull this over, Ed, and, you know, you've done a few deflection I can see this, but now I need you to answer.
Start You're putting a main me on pudding. The spot.
Well, I mean, you've had half an hour and you've had a meal.
Yeah.
And we've chatted about a few things. And has, you know, what are you going to do? It doesn't have to be, you know.
Okay. I'm going Chinese.
Oh.
Spring rolls.
Yeah.
Can I... Is there a particular Peking dumplings?
Love... Yeah. What, pancakes or dumplings?
Dumplings.
Where'd you get? I've never had a Peking dumpling. What, a Peking duck dumpling?
No, it's like a Peking dumpling with like a sort of stuff inside.
Where'd you get? Is there a particular takeaway?
Because
take
I have
or?
This memory. No, I have this memory of being with my dad in America and going to... It was such an amazing thing
food,
to go out and have... And Chinese food was good in America.
After cold tomato pasta.
After cold tomato pasta. And so... You know, it was such a treat to go to. It was called the Hunan Restaurant. And to go, I think it was in Watertown, Massachusetts, Waltham, Massachusetts. So spring rolls and Peking dumplings. Mushu chicken.
I don't know that.
Mm. So mushu is like pancake.
You're going full.
I'm going full, full-ish Chinese.
Is this starter still? Are we on main now?
No, this is main.
Okay.
And it was like, because it would remind me of my dad. This is why I'm choosing it. And it would be sort of, it's very thin pancakes. With a bit of sort of soy sauce or something. And then it was sort of chicken and bean sprouts. It's not very sophisticated, but chicken and bean sprouts and stuff. And it definitely reminded me of my childhood. That's sort of the main, and maybe a veggie or two, because I'm sort of now an adult.
Mm.
And, God, and then the pudding. What do I choose for pudding?
You like a sweet tooth?
Not so much, actually. Like a chocolate cake.
Okay.
Not very Chinese.
No, that's fine, though. But, like, a particular chocolate cake, do you get, like, Is there somewhere in your area that you love a chocolate cake, a homemade birthday chocolate cake? Is
my mother used to make a really good chocolate cake.
A Sacha Tort?
No, just a rather plain chocolate cake. So that's my choice.
Drink?
Some nice white wine.
Mm-hmm. Now, the climate change, all of...
Good segue. Good segue.
No, because I was just thinking about, have you changed the way you eat? Now that, you know, you are...
You're watching your footprint.
Are you watching... Yeah. Mm. Have you changed it or not?
Do you still
are
have you, beans from Kenya?
Or are you more flexitarian now?
I'm more flexitarian. I don't really eat that much red meat, but that's partly, and this is maybe an argument about the climate thing, which is, it's partly a health thing.
Mm-hmm.
That you should eat less.
I think we all do now, don't we?
Do you think we do?
Yeah.
But have you kind of made...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I try to. I think this is my point about climate, is that you can do good things for the climate and it can also benefit you in the rest of your
mm-hmm,
life.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Have you met Greta?
I have met Greta. She did an event at the House of Commons. Amazing.
What's she like?
You know, pretty charismatic and uncompromising in a good way.
Yeah.
I mean, she forced Michael Gove to say she was his conscience or something. No,
she's got one.
Well, indeed, yeah. He discovered it. No, she's pretty impressive, isn't she? That's why you see about young people.
Yeah, she's inspirational. But, I mean, I heard that lots of young people got very anxious when she was talking about climate change because they thought that, you know, catastrophe was coming.
Well, I think it is quite important to say to be able to say, we can do this.
Yeah.
Not, it's all hopeless and terrible. I think that is important.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Because otherwise people feel a sense of hopelessness. But I think this point about meat is interesting because, you see, I think the climate argument is not just... I sometimes say Martin Luther King didn't say, I have a nightmare. He said, I have a dream.
Yeah, it's true.
And we're very good at saying, I have a nightmare. Okay, in the nightmare, you've got to tell the truth about how bad it could be and so on. But you've also got to say, look, we can do better as a society. You know, we can have better insulated homes, better ways of getting around, better public transport, better walking and so, you know, cycle lanes. Well, I think cycle lanes definitely make me feel more secure.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be on a road with a like massive bus in the same lane. Well, you can be, but I become more confident. There is this proficiency training also you can do free. Yeah. At least in Camden.
Can I just tell you, I might not look it, but I'm going to be 70. In October.
I do not believe it. I don't believe it.
Quick enough. Yeah, I don't think I want to cycle.
I saw you with my generation.
Shush!
I did!
You're not schmoozing me.
I do know what schmoozer is, and I'm definitely not a schmoozer. I'm a truth teller.
No, I'm old.
Well, maybe cold water swimming then.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Imagine.
The women's.
He knows in the cold water.
The women's pond in
my friend Sue swims there every day.
Ah. Let's shout out to Sue.
Yeah, Sue Leifer.
Shout out to Sue Leifer.
She swims there every day.
You see? What about going with Sue?
No. I live in Clapham. I'm not going up there.
Do you want some more of
this? Oh, go on then, yeah. I'm not actually a big drinker. This is like more than I would ever normally drink. So goodness knows what's going to happen.
This is like an Eaton mess.
It looks
but
fantastic.
It's a Middle Eastern one.
I mean, Eaton mess is very appropriate, if I may say so.
Very good.
I mean, that is Thai politics.
Yeah,
really.
Wow, Mum.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Did you get the bottom bit? What was the bit at
the
bottom?
The bottom is sumac and pomegranate molasses.
Did Ed get any of that at the
I
bottom?
Hope so.
I think I did. It looks great.
I'll give him some.
This looks fantastic. So, wow. I'm coming here. Am I allowed again? I'm allowed to come here again.
This
that's
is delicious.
Is it, darling?
When tell we do me. Our cold water swimming together, Lenny.
What about your podcast? Let's talk about your podcast. So how's it going? Did you feel like that your personality?
I love my podcast. 193, I think we did today. Thank you. I took a few weeks off for the general election, but we've basically done one a week since 2017. I think there's something about you both must feel this too. There's something about the format which it's just totally different, isn't it, than an interview.
Yeah.
You know, when I go on the Today programme or whatever, it's sort of, It's got a kind of let's be honest, it's quite, it can be quite tiresome.
It's not. We've also got 2 minutes to get your...
Very short amount of time to get your point across. You sort of feel under, I don't know, you know, look, it's important scrutiny and I don't want to sort of disparage it, but there's something about the podcast format. Even the BBC people who do podcasts, like Nick Robinson and others, they're completely different on their podcasts than they are. Maybe that's natural. But Jeff and I really love it. And, you know, when I lost after 2015, I mean, losing an election, I wouldn't sort of recommend it, really. You feel quite lost. I felt quite lost. And I kind of thought, well, how do I take my ideas forward? I don't know how to do it. Then Jeff Lloyd came to me and said, he actually came to somebody who used to work for me, saying, I've got this preposterous idea that Ed and I could do a podcast together.
Did you know each other at all?
He'd interviewed me in the 2015 general election, where he asked whether I'd ever done a Mooney. No, this was the answer.
Now you do cold water swimming.
Well, I'm not a kind of aggressive Mooney. I said, oh, well, let's just do a pilot and see how it goes. And then I kind of thought, oh, this is really good.
Yeah, I think for you, it must have shown you were free to show your personality, show your wit, your opinions in full.
And I suppose the interesting question is, why was it so hard to do that when I was leader?
Oh, I think that's unfair on you, actually. I think it's hard to do because that's not your role, to show that your personality. I mean, also, some people have got away with it, just living on their personality.
You had to please so many people and, there's so many cooks in a kitchen, I presume, when you're running for lead.
And also you're so conscious of the sort of Daily Mail and so on. You know, if you say a word out of place, are people going to say, is it going to be distorted? And that's a problem. I should have been less conscious of, you know, am I going to say the wrong thing? It made me too buttoned up, I think. This is so nice.
Yeah, no, it's not difficult, honestly.
I know, that's what everybody very good says.
No, you could do this very easily, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
But I mean...
It's mascarpone and creme fraiche. And then I cut up all the things.
It's really great.
And some rose water. I can't taste the rose very much.
No, but I don't want too much rose.
Could you taste any rose?
No, but that was okay. It's really
Please
good, Mum.
Have some more.
So the book's out. The podcast carries on. Mm-hmm. You're back on the front line. Mm. Well, front bench. Mm-hmm. Front, kind of like a front line. Yeah, Ed's having a little second. Oh, we love this.
Do you know, this is someone with a good appetite. It makes you very happy.
Do you feel... So nice. Do you feel...
And I'm not a massive dessert person.
Yeah, they always say that. Do you feel happy, fulfilled, satisfied with where you are at in your career?
Difficult question, Jessie.
I just feel...
That
really?
Is such a good question.
Is it? I don't know. I feel...
Do you?
I mean, it was a leading question because I feel like...
The answer is yes.
Yeah. You've learnt to ride the bike. You've written this book. You're going back into kind of... Frontline politics.
You know, the interesting thing is, my immediate reactions I think about that is I think I've got a fantastic wife and two lovely kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was on the street with my son, Sam, the younger one, the other day, and this woman passed me and said, I really wish you were Prime Minister, mate, and carried on. Aww. Well, you know what, I then said to him, I then had this discussion with him, and I said, it kind of would have been pretty crap for you if I'd been Prime Minister, wouldn't it? And he goes, yeah, definitely.
Oh, your little boy.
And so...
It would have been awful.
It would have been.
Can you imagine?
Do you remember how Tony Blair's kids got it?
Oh, they had a really
hard time. It's so hard, isn't it, if you're young. So, you know, I think what I feel most happy about is my family and the relationship I have with them. And, you know, I often think that when I was leader, I was sort of present but absent. Well, I was absent... And then even when I was present, I was absent. And so, you know, I think the book, you know, I really care about the book and ideas. And, you know, I think the big change we need in the country. And I sort of haven't given up. And I think that's really important. And that's why I'm still in it and why I'm still doing what I'm doing. And I'm happy to be on the front bench and doing the podcast and all of that. But I feel most blessed and lucky with my family, actually.
Last question, Ed.
Last question. Is it over already?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just time like getting flies. Into the mess. I know.
So Man United should get to your 10 listeners know.
8 o'clock.
So I'm getting kicked out with the Man United game.
You can stay you and can watch.
Lenny
if you
is
want.
Like clock watching. 8 minutes to 8.
This
she's
is
like,
so rude, isn't it? But
sorry.
No, and she's not actually apologetic.
Not apologetic. We might have, be our we big have
I
night.
Don't think you should be apologetic.
No, it might be our big night. It might not. It might be a big disaster.
It's been a big night. We've had bloody Ed Miliband here.
It's been an
enormous night, 26th of May.
Not as big a night as when we go cold water swimming together, Lenny.
All right, that tricycle. Right. Two questions.
Tandem.
Tandem. I wouldn't mind. Naked.
Naked, no.
Oh,
I think not
Jesus
naked.
Christ, now we're pushing it, Alice.
I mean, I hear your kind offer to me, Lenny, but I reject it. Naked, Lenny and I, naked on a tandem. I don't think we'd really
no,
do much for
I
my
don't
image.
Think we're doing that.
No, I think not. No. It would make the bacon sandwich look like a walk in the park.
Well, on to this. Do you think you've got good table manners, Ed Miliband?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to tell me that.
I think you do.
Look, he had seconds. That's good appetite. You're in.
I mean, it was totally genuine, the seconds.
I hope so.
And lastly.
Go on.
Karaoke song.
Ooh.
Would you if you had to?
Karaoke.
Have you?
I'm sure at Labour conferences.
I've done it with Jeff, actually. I've done it with Jeff
really?
And Sarah.
Why? Where
not
were
good.
You?
They took me to a sort of karaoke bar.
Why did they?
I don't know. Not really me, the karaoke thing.
And what did you sing?
Yikes, I can't even remember. Sarah, his wife, does an incredible, Billy Joel. Was it We Didn't Start the Fire?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you didn't sing? You did sing, but you can't remember
I
or you're just sing, not going to
I'm just blotting it out, I think.
Are you a ballads man or a hip-hop fan?
Do you
know.
Like music?
I
do listen
I'm a sort
to
of
music.
80s crap music sort of
dad rock.
Fan. Aha. Uh-huh. I must have done Take On Me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
I did Take On Me.
That's a good one for a leader.
I did it on the Last Leg. Have you not seen The Last Leg?
That you sang
oh, I love
yeah,
The Last
Leg. I sang it on The Last Leg. I mimed it on The Last Leg with all the bloody instruments.
Oh, my
Why?
God.
Well, in order to rescue my political career after I lost the election.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, honestly.
With Josh Widdicombe and what's
yes,
his name?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I did it How solo, did it? Actually. I did all the instruments. It went well. Honestly.
It went viral.
It was my Jesse was the high point of my career and you've like missed it.
Fuck, I'm so sorry.
And they got me to eat a bacon sandwich in a black leather jacket.
Oh my God.
On a motorcycle because they wanted to change the sort of Google searches to have me sort of looking cool. No, it's a good picture.
Good.
Seriously. Anyway, so, yeah, I think Take On Me.
Sorry, say it again.
Take On Me. Anyway,
nice.
You see, there you go.
Ed Miliband, it's been such a pleasure to chat to you. We could have you here for hours.
Oh, but you've got the Man United. But you can't. I'm here, just so you know, listeners, I am getting kicked out because in 5 minutes, it's Man United versus Villarreal.
I didn't even know where it was.
In the Europa League finals.
Yeah.
And that is much more important.
It has been really lovely.
It's been lovely. I'm incredibly grateful for the invitation.
Now read what he's written in your
Can
thing.
Can I read?
Now, but bear in mind, he said he doesn't usually drink this much, and I think right. He was on his third glass.
To Lenny, with grateful thanks for a fantastic evening, and look forward to the cold water, brackets naked, swimming, much love, Ed.
I mean, that could have just won him the election, do you know what I mean? Mum is literally not doing the outro with me. She's pushed Ed Miliband out the door. I think he said, can't I watch the football with you? And she said, no, you won't enjoy it. And pushed him out the fucking door. Ed Miliband, what a gent. What a brilliant man. Go big. And yeah, thank you for such a thought-provoking, wonderful, really honest chat that he just gave us. It may have been the three glasses of wine, but I still appreciate it, Ed Miliband. Thank you so much for listening to everybody. Mum, do you want to say goodbye? Thanks so much. Lenny says bye.
Thank you for listening. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.